Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Arlene Cohen.
And yep, it's Fiber Talk. It's the Wednesday show. We do these twice a week. Well, we do shows twice a week. And yeah, we got stuff here. Yes, always. When Arlene and I gather, we are sponsored by the Fire Poppies.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate that. Rail Garden, starting that July 5 now. July 5, we'll have a live show at 2 o'clock. Stitching that. Vanna and Kim and I stitching that. Six kicks left at the Royal, at the Fire Poppies there. So if you're interested, get in on the action. Six kits left. I'm sure she has some charts too, but check the website this morning and there were six kits left. So if you want the full kit from Fire Poppies, jump on that. It's right there. Just do a search for Royal Garden and it pops right up.
And that's July 5 is coming up here. You've been talking about this for months and months, and now it's finally come down. So
yeah.
That's exciting. Yes.
Well, see, with that one was intentional because with these, particularly with Debbie's kits, but a lot of these charted canvas kits, you have to get started early because they use so many different threads.
True. Yes.
And it's hard for shops to pull them together. And or for people, and then if people want to change their colors, change the colorway, then it's, you know, that much more. So we intentionally started this very early so that when we started on the 5th, we would know that people would have kits and not be waiting. So yeah, there's just so much that goes into those, you know, just different threads. It takes some doing. Hey, you should do it with us.
Well,
you got nothing but time. Come on, Arlene.
I got nothing but time. Although, in all honesty, what I was looking at right before you called was From Dawn to Dusk.
Yeah.
Which I know is another coming up stitch along, because you just keep starting all the things, don't you?
I know. Starting all the things, and then there they all are. Yeah.
Yeah. And I keep wondering when there's going to be a finish of all the things.
Hey, I'm flying. We'll get back to Fire Poppies in a minute. But
okay.
I'm flying on Hannah Longstreth, let me just say.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm on motif number 4 already.
Out of?
Oh, we aren't counting that part. That part, we don't discuss that part.
Okay.
We're looking at the positive. I'm on motif number 4.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what we're looking at. Yeah.
4 is good.
But I'm actually cooking right along on that. I'm really having fun with that one. So.
It's beautiful. I know you posted some pictures not yesterday. Not that long ago, and I was like, wow, that is definitely a beautiful piece there.
Yep. It's a good one. Yeah. Oh, and then the motif I'm working on right now. I was really cooking along last night. I mean, I was flying. And flipped it over because it was one of those where I had to finish on the backside. I had to finish the strand on the backside. There was a knot I hadn't noticed. And so, it's not that far back. I'll pull it out and redo it. And as I'm redoing it, you know, the silk's just too fuzzy.
Mm-hmm.
So an hour's worth just got cut out. Start over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I just can't deal with that. So.
Mm-hmm.
Cut it out, but got it back in before I went to bed. But I was, because a lot of those motifs are plants. Well, I just about all of them are some kind of a plant in a pot or whatever. So you're stitching branches all the time. And to me, that is just a pain in the butt, you know, to stitch, you know, like 1X branches that you go over here to, up one, over two, up one, and...
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I got to go all the way out to the end of a branch and then come all the way back. And yeah, just to me, it's tedious.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to the bloom and you're done in 10 minutes because it's just solid color. Yeah. But and this is one where the picture is on the chart is adequate, but the colors are just amazing. So, and that MPI silk, yeah. Yeah, that's the stuff.
So I'm looking at a picture now. Are you, when you say 4 motif, I don't remember what I saw posted. Are you on the motif with the squirrel?
No, I'm on the third one at the top row from the left.
Okay.
Yeah. then I'm going to go down and do the squirrel.
Got it.
Yeah, because I'm gonna carry that double roll, the top double roll, all the way across.
Uh huh.
Before I scroll up. So yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So squirrel's coming up next. Yeah. It's a good one, but mm-hmm. Yeah, those motifs look like they're quick stitch, and now they're not. No.
I wouldn't declare them a quick. I mean, it's nice when you have a design like that that is broken up into distinct parts, and you get that satisfaction of
yes.
Completion of a distinct part, but I wouldn't necessarily declare any individual one of those a quote quick stitch.
No.
There's just the satisfaction of that one's done kind of thing.
And then that makes a difference. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Cause when I finished one up finished the second one from the left up last night, it's like, yeah, all right. Sit mm-hmm. back, take a moment. All right. Now I'm moving on to the next one. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, will you stick with this all the way through until July 5th when you start Royal Garden?
Yeah, I'm into it. Yep.
Okay.
Yep, I'm into it. My combination, here's my combination. Homeland, a beer, and Hannah Longstreth. That's my combination.
Okay.
Because Homeland with Claire Danes, that's a tremendous series.
Mm-hmm.
And there's eight seasons of 12 episodes. I'm on six, number three. But it's one of those, it's the ideal thing because the dialogue is sufficient enough that you don't have to look up all the time to see what's going on.
Yep. Perfect stitching.
Yeah.
Kind of.
So you can keep stitching. And then when it gets really quiet and there's no dialogue, then you just take a moment and watch to see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's riveting. Yeah. So after that, cause I'll fire through that. It won't take long. Because 12, 24, what, 9, 4, 13, 33. So I got 33 more episodes at 40 minutes apiece. So I have, what, 24 hours worth? Yeah. Yeah. So, but it's so good that I hate to turn it off at night. And I'm like, all right, I got to go to bed.
Yeah.
I'm really enjoying it. You know, and usually those long series start to run out of steam and they start getting stupid with the plots, but this one's held together. So That's my combination right now for Hannah Longstreth. I don't think Terrorists and Murder and Mayhem fits very well with the young lady who stitched a sampler, but it's working both sides of my brain, so I'm good.
All right.
Yep. So yeah, the Dawn to Dusk. Hey.
Now, I feel like I've asked this before and you've answered it before, but I don't remember the answer. What colorway are you doing this in?
I'm doing one that was designed especially for me.
See, and that's what I thought the answer was. And yes. What, remind me what it...
It's the Rosy Sky colorway.
Okay.
Which is mainly whites, but the accent color is pinks.
Okay.
Pinks and light reds. And she took all those and converted them to blues.
Got it.
And then, and did the appropriate things to the design to make it all tie together. And when you lay out all the threads that she did, oh man, it's perfect, spot on. Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Yep. So and that anybody can get that. That's on her list now. The Fiber Talk colorway, I think, is what she's calling it. So yes. But Ivana's doing the. Sand something, beach, desert. I forget what that is. It's more tans and stuff.
Desert sand.
Yeah, desert sand. Yeah, she's doing that one. The tuxedo one, well, you remember from the from Nashville.
Yes.
That is it tuxedo is the black and gray?
Tuxedo Nights, which is black, white, and silver. Yeah. Yeah.
That one, I almost did that one.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked all the whites. And so I was going to do the conversion myself, but, you know, not being able to go to a store, and some of the things she has are not common things for stores.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wrote to her and said, hey, can you tell me what blues, where I should substitute blue? And she said, I'll do a colorway for you. And she did.
Mm.
So yeah, it was beautiful, but that's a good one. Yeah. Yeah, do it. Do it, Arlene. Do it.
Yeah.
Do it.
Well, we'll see what... I've got a lot of other potential stitching plans in front of me.
Ah, and shove them aside.
Well, so, but you know that I'm not a, have, you know, 10 gazillion projects in a time person. I mean, what you, in particular, you and Vonna together have started all these projects. And it, like, it kills me how many more you have planned together, which is, I mean, great. I support all the variety and all the uniqueness that you bring into it. But I can't see it for myself, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think about, you know, how much you, at any given time in the last couple of years, you know, so into Sarah Brazier and then so into the Queen Sampler and so into, you know, pick a project. And I know at any given time you're so into whatever it is you're so into. And for me, it's not my stitching style.
Right.
It's not my method of operation. But to each his own.
So. Yeah, no, that's, yeah. And I'm terrible at that, at starting stuff like that. And, they do get finished, but
Gary, what has gotten finished in the last couple of years?
Hmm?
What has gotten finished in the last?
I finished Anasazi's song.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. You have. Okay.
I finished what was one of the small Debbie Raleigh ones. That's probably about it.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have a bunch of them sitting there in various forms. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I will. I'm guilty. I don't pretend. But we've had a lot of people start those and are enjoying all of them. So to me, that's worth something.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And one that I feel bad about, but timing just got in the way is Anya's Day. Because I just barely got a start on that. But the timing around Easter and what we're doing with the live shows and so on and so forth, just absolutely got in the way of that, and it just got set aside. That one I really want to get back to, because I love the color, that purple linen with the white floche. I really want to get back to that. Plus, I just love Jacob's designs in general.
Mm-hmm.
They're beautiful. Yeah. Oh, and I found one, that cobblestone linen that I got from Shepherd's Needle. Mm-hmm. I have another sampler I got at, where did I get that? I think at the attic. It's a smaller sampler, more alphabet than anything. And I wanted to do it on a brown with a yellow, but I couldn't find a good brown. And so I ended up getting a cream linen and then a brown thread,
mm-hmm.
which works very nice, and I started it, and it works very nice, but you know how you have in your head, this is how I want it to look,
mm-hmm.
and mine was flipped over from how I wanted it to look, and so I tried, and I just couldn't get excited about it. But then when I got this cobblestone stuff, which is a darker brownish whatever. I've already pulled out some yellow, just DMC, some yellow DMC, and stitched on it to see which one I like. And that's more what I want to do with that sampler. So I bought a whole yard of that. So I'm going to cut off a piece, and it's a fairly small sampler, and do it the way I wanted to do it. Cause I like that dark background and then a white or a yellow or a whatever, you know, a cream, mm-hmm. off-white, ecru, whatever. Yeah. I like that look.
Yes. It's a very striking. Yeah. I'm with you there. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Well, I think that's what I like so much about that one you just finished, the crushed cranberry background, that nice dark background with the swirls and stuff, and then you put your whites on that, and it just stands out. It's beautiful. And it works.
Absolutely. It's that kind of exactly what you said, a dark background with a light color thread. It gives you a nice a nice pop of color in, which is different from sort of the lighter background dark thread that right. you see so much of. And especially as my piece is literally based on a piece of lace, and the traditional way of thinking about lace is something that is white. Mm-hmm. It's all the more perfect in doing it the way I did.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So I think I'm going to do that. Mm-hmm. I do. Cause you know, I need to start something else. Oh, and then we're, well, this is another thing I gotta drag you into these, Arlene.
Uh-huh.
Avlia, Krista West.
Yeah.
Her small embroidery kits. We're going to do that too.
And when is this one starting?
I haven't set a date yet, but that's coming up. Yeah. But that's a small one. That's just, you know, surface embroidery. Not just surface embroidery in that it's easy, because I'm not very good at it at all. But it's a smaller one, and it's beautiful. Kind of has a Jacobean look to it. So I have to drag you into that too.
Wait, have you picked out a specific one?
Yeah, so it's Avlia Pennsylvania Posy. Mm-hmm. See, it kind of has, you know, if you can find it there, yep. It kind of has a Jacobean look to me. I don't know.
Well, and it says, I mean, I always like this kind of thing when a designer gives you a sense of where something comes from. This delightful floral design originates in a Pennsylvania redware pottery plate in the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York.
Oh.
It's cheery flowers and bright colors make it a great free hand embroidery design. But yeah, I mean, looking at the pictures here. It's a sweet little design there.
You know what? What am I thinking? This is my kit. I'm going to open it anyway. Why don't I open it right now? What an idiot I am. So,
sorry.
Right. Yeah, I'm sitting there. I don't want to open this thing up, but why not? It's mine. So, yeah. So it's, comes with all the floss.
Mm-hmm.
This looks like standard DMC.
Needle. Yes, it says it comes with DMC. So I'm curious, and you may not be able to do this like on the fly right now, but how many strands of DMC do you use for? All right, so now I've zoomed in almost too close to these pictures. And I'm certainly guessing that at least one of these stitches, it might be like your typical two strands. But do you do that with the satin stitches also that are here?
She's saying, in the instructions, two strands.
Okay.
Two strands.
And there's something that looks like chain stitches, although it may not be that because it's not listed, but whatever. I might not just have the right name to it. The blue flowers have, again, zoomed in really close or in a way that it might be distorting it.
Blue flowers are Pekingese with satin in the middle.
Okay.
Yeah, it's basically, that's Pekingese. Everything else is,
okay. is
pretty much satin or chain of some kind. Mm-hmm. Or, yeah, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's a good one. And the fabric, it's on, the fabric is printed on the fabric.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to do the drawings or anything. It's 6-inch. 1, 2, 3, 4, yeah, 6-inch wide. Yeah.
Yep. That's what it says.
Oh, does it?
6-inch bamboo embroidery hoop.
Yep. So there you go. Avlia, Pennsylvania Posy. So we're going to do that too. That'll be a quick one though.
Can I quote you on that? I mean, in all seriousness, I see what you're saying is comparing to like all the other projects you've started in the last couple of years. Then yes.
Yeah.
This should be a quick one.
Nothing to it.
But I would like to know you'll obviously announce your starting date, but I would like to know what your planned ending date will be. I will hold you to that. Okay.
Probably a week. Just a week. Yeah.
Just a week. All right.
Yeah. If I was Mary Corbett. Yeah. So anyway, we're going to do that too.
Okay.
Yep. That's a pretty one. She has she's really developing her line of kits and designs. Mm-hmm. And coming up with some pretty innovative stuff. So I like that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay, so there's all that. Now back to the fire poppies.
Yes.
Because we got away from the fire poppies.
We did get away from the fire poppies.
So coming up now, the Lion, Tigers, and Trims kit design. And then Susan had a fabric custom dyed called Summer Sky. Seraphim custom dyed the fabric Summer Sky specifically for this. So you'll want to check that out on her website. And then she's going to have extra of that Summer Sky. So if you like it and want it for something else, it's not just for this Lions, Tigers, and Trims kit.
Okay.
So that's good. And then she just got in. Actually, we're recording on Tuesday, and I just had conversation with her this morning. She just got in a bunch of finishing boxes and drawers that you can use to finish some of Brenda Gervais' 2020 market charts. Token of Love, Saltbox Sampler, Baltimore Saltbox. So she has the boxes you can use to finish those things. So if you're stitching those, check out at Fire Poppies because, if you want something nice to finish it in. Because that's fun to do.
Yes.
If you finish something and then you have a little box or something rather than frame it and put it on a wall kind of thing.
Always looking for those options when it comes to finishing. Absolutely.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. And plus those make nice gifts too.
Uh-huh.
Though I am not a fan of gifting needlework. They do make a nice gift if you can put them in a little jewelry box or something like that. Yeah. Because then it isn't just the needlework. Yeah. Still not a fan of that.
I think most needleworkers probably have a story or two about a time that they've gifted needlework and it has not gone well. Let's just put it that way.
Right. Right.
You know, and hopefully they have some equal story where it has gone well, you know, where it has been totally appreciated and honored and joyously accepted and treasured. But it does take the one or more bad story that does sour you on it and make you think really carefully before you give away, you know, the things that you've spent hours upon hours upon hours, you know, giving your heart and soul to.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, yeah, and that's just it. It's the hours, but then when you do those for someone, don't you kind of put a little extra, at least mental energy into it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You probably don't stitch it any better than you would your own stuff, but it's that there's a little mental commitment there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and then it's just not. It's just not.
Well, and all right, so to share a story without giving away any, well, not that this person, I think, at all listens to this, but somebody once shared a story of fairly early on in her needlework life, had made a gift for a baby in her extended family. And it, because it was early on in her life, basic materials, basic design. And it was, you know, oh, this is so nice, whatever. A second baby came along in that family. So, but at that point, she was that much more into her stitching. And so it was a much more elaborate design. And I think it involved silk thread instead of cotton thread.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she stitched on linen in a smaller count as opposed to Ada in a larger count or something that's definitely a more sophisticated, in the needlework world, like any stitcher would definitely say, oh, this is not a, you know, childish looking design as her first one had been. This is definitely someone who has been stitching longer, can do more sophisticated charts. But the one but about it is that the second one was just size wise smaller. Okay.
Yeah.
But it was way more sophisticated.
Yeah.
And the mother of the child opened it and said, I guess the second child isn't loved as much as the first child.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
And when that was, you know, responded with the look on the face, it was, well, because this one's smaller. And so if that's how things are faced by someone who doesn't know anything about needlework, you know, what can you do? You know?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, And everyone, you know, and she, this is years ago. She could laugh about this now, you know, she, you know, but at the time she could not laugh about it. So, and again, I think many Stitchers have some version of some story or another where, you know, it is what it is at this point. You can't.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a harsh reality.
Yeah. Just,
and that's, you know, that's the trouble with that is that you create those pieces in the community of Stitchers who have full appreciation for what goes on.
Mm-hmm.
So you never think for a moment about how someone who doesn't do needlework would view it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get hit with that, it's that much harder to take.
Yes.
Yeah, because, well, it's smaller. Oh, you got to be kidding me.
Although I think
costs three times as much.
Exactly. I wonder how much, you know, if you were to survey all the Stitchers out there, and for everyone that says, yeah, I've had an experience like that where something I've stitched, and something in particular that you've stitched directly for someone that, you know, you've known from the moment you started, this is going to be a gift for so-and-so kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
When you've had an experience like that, that it has really made you think that much harder before you've done anything else for somebody else. Like, you know, it just, it's a really important learning experience, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, I can say that I've had an important learning experience for myself, and I not as harsh as this one that I just relayed to you, but just something that was important to me that, you know, has made me think ever since it happened of just being very careful of the people that I was making something from. And there's some people in my life that I would do it 20 times again. And there's some that I know just don't, what can I say? Just don't have the ability to appreciate things that are made by hand and that are made with love in this kind of way, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's what it is. So.
Yeah. Yep. Well, there. Yes. That.
Yep. Yes.
And then some people give away gifts all the time.
Absolutely. Yep.
Do it all the time. But, you know, and it sounds like we need to be patted on the back and hugged and appreciated. No, I just don't need to comment. Guess the second kid isn't as important. Just don't need that. Just a simple thank you would have been good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yep.
Yep. Or, you know, well, what's different about this one? You know,
yeah.
You know, ask a question, and then, well, I did this in silk, the other's in cotton. You know, it's on a finer count, so it's harder to work.
Since I made the last one, I have learned X, Y, and
right.
Z. I'm excited to be able to do it for, you know, now, blah, blah, blah. And yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So ask that kind of a question, not well, my kid's not as important as the other one. Ouch. Mm-hmm. Ouch. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there we go.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, Susan now is able to have her store open. So she's starting to schedule events, and this new software, you got to check out the software at thefirepoppies.com. Check out the software there, the website. It's very handy in a lot of ways. Like you can go, that's like I was able to go and see that there are 6 Royal Garden kits left before we started the show. But she also now has scheduling events on the calendar, and you can subscribe to the calendar so you can get notification when new stuff shows up. She really did a good job choosing the software framework for her website, because that's a very cool thing.
Yes.
Subscribe and then, you know, say, all right, say I'm going to make a trip to the Carolinas, next spring. Subscribe to the calendar, and then, hey, they're doing this event. I think I'll make my trip work around that.
You need to get down there mid-August, Gary. Do you know why?
No, why?
Because there's a boys' night happening.
Oh, is there?
We are having a special stitch-in just for the guys, August 14th.
August 14th.
That's what it says.
Ooh, the heat and humidity in August.
But it does say bring your project and your favorite adult beverage and
all
see
right.
what guys are stitching lately.
All right. Well,
I'm just, but it does say this. We will do this once a quarter.
Ooh.
So I don't know if I suppose if I could skip ahead. I don't know if she's got the next one planned out or not, but There you go. I'm planting the seed.
So... Now, see, in January, I would be quite interested.
Mm-hmm.
I don't adapt well to heat and humidity.
Okay.
Never all have. Right. No. But in January, you might talk me into that. Yeah.
All right. Well, keep that in the back of your head there.
Road trip. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So do that. And then also, she's now able to ship overseas. A lot of people were holding off on shipping overseas because it was sitting in ports in the States collecting dust. So now she's shipping to most places, Europe, Australia, so on and so forth. So you can do that. So if you want something from the poppies, any of the poppies, they will now ship to you overseas. So very good. Firepoppies.com. Thanks to Susan for sponsoring the show. Get those Royal Garden kits. July 5 is coming up fast. 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Eastern time. Somehow I set that time and I didn't check with Vanna or Kim. Sure hope that works for them.
What day of the week is July 5th?
It'll be a Sunday.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. It'll be a Sunday. And it's Vanna's 50th birthday. We're excited about that.
Oh, I'm aware of that.
Yeah. So there we have that. Tonight... 8 o'clock Eastern is our weekly quarantine stitch hour thing. Then Friday Night Live. You should be a guest on Friday Night Live.
I should be a guest?
Yeah. Why don't you be a guest? How about that?
Sure.
Show off some of your stuff, some of the stuff you've done from way back in the past. You know?
Sure. I would do that.
That would be fun. All right. We'll sort that out.
Okay.
That'd be a blast. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Because that's what we do now. Friday nights we have a guest each time.
Yes. Yes. I knew that you were doing bringing in stitchers from all different. I was going to say all different walks of life, like stitchers from all over. That giving the opportunity to share a little bit. So.
Yep.
Sure.
Yeah, that's been fun. All right, putting you down. We'll sort it out. That'd be fun. Right. Yeah, be fun. Because we had a great time last Friday with Deb Eshelman. If you haven't watched that, check that out. She's versatile.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, is versatile. I mean, she does a lot of different techniques is what I'm trying to get to.
Yeah.
And versatile. Does them well. And I love the way she adjusts designs to suit her.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So if you didn't see that, check it out because it's really, really a good example all the way through of how to change things to fit you, make them yours, and then just flat out beautiful stitching. So, yeah. Okay. Marking this down. Arlene, Friday night. All right. Okay. We'll sort it out.
All right.
It's on the notes. Mm-hmm. So that's, so check that out, Friday nights. And then, as Arlene mentioned, the Dawn to Dusk Stitch Along starts August 1, and that's a Textured Treasures is the designer, Dzinski.
Karen Dzinski.
Karen Dzinski, yes. And you really have to get the kit from her because she's got some ribbon in there and all kinds of things, so it's better off if you contact Textured Treasures from get Karen and get the kit from her.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine. It'd be hard for any store to put that together.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there, she has, what, 5 colorways, 6 colorways?
1, 2, 3, 4. Well, there's 5 here. And then if you add in the new Fiber Talk, that would be 6 colorways.
Right. So 6 colorways that you can do. And the Fiber Talk one, if you look at it, is the Rosy Skies only done in blue. So it's mainly white with blue. And if you go and watch the video that Arlene and I did at Nashville on our YouTube channel, you'll see the 5 colorways.
Yes.
So you can see, plus all the other things Karen does, which are equally amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll see the 5 colorways there. And then also the one that was on the door, a paneled thing, and I keep forgetting to look up what that is, but check out the one that's on the door. It's kind of a silver and white one. It's not Dawn to Dusk, but it's beautiful. Yeah, that was one of your great finds at the show. I'd never run into her. Boy.
How could you? I still don't understand how, for someone who has the interest in canvas work, you know, your interests are beyond cross stitch is what I'm saying. And you've been to Nashville two previous times and she had been there.
Yep.
I don't understand how you missed her, but whatever.
I cannot give you a single explanation for why that is. Cause I thought I had seen all of the needlework or needlepoint people.
Mm-hmm.
How I got past that, I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you she'll be in my top five next spring.
Okay.
Right there immediately. Yeah, I have no idea, Arlene. I really don't. I really don't. Other than there's just an awful lot of people and yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So there we have that. So if you're interested in that, that's August 1st. We're starting that. That's a beautiful piece. Lots of different stitches and ways of putting things into a canvas. And yeah, she's innovative. She's really innovative.
Yes. That's a great word for her work. Innovative. Yeah. Yes.
Yep. So that Textured Treasures, contact her, Karen, and if you're interested. But yeah, go watch that video and then you'll see the five, and then just take that rosy skies and just imagine it in blue, and then you'll have a good idea what that is. So there's all those things. Boy, we got to get you stitching more projects at once, Arlene.
Well,
she's just not made that way.
Yes, but before we go on, you might not know the answer to this. So I'm looking at my Dawn to Dusk pattern in my hand. And the picture that's on the cover, you wouldn't happen to know what colorway that is.
No, I would not happen to know that.
Okay. And because I'm looking, like I'm scanning all over. Does it say, you know, on the cover is blah, blah, blah. And I'm not seeing it. Okay. Never mind.
No, I don't know. And that one's, you know, that one I almost did.
Yeah, because it's like, at least what it's looking, it's like pink and black or.
Yeah.
All right, I will do some searching. And thank you for reminding me. I will go back and watch that video. That might be the best way to answer my own question, is to go back and visually look. Although I think I also took some pictures. I probably just need to scan my own pictures.
okay.
Answer my own questions. There we go.
And the best way to see what's being done with Dawn to Dusk, Textured Treasures, Karen Dudzinski, she has a Facebook group. And so you'll see what people have finished, how people have finished that, and people talking about doing that Dawn to Dusk. There's quite a bit of conversation in there about that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you might just go there and you'll probably find it right away.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's a good one.
Yes, it is.
It really is. Well, actually, would I buy four of her charts? I think I bought four. Because before we left that Sunday, I said to Margo, I'll be right back.
You had to go. You bought. No, I don't. I meant to bring. I don't have in front of me her little catalog booklet kind of thing, which is too bad I don't, because then I'd be able to talk more easily about the different designs. Never mind. Okay.
Okay. Well, see, if we had actually planned on talking at length about Textured Treasures, then we would have been prepared, but we weren't.
Yes,
we
would have, but that's okay. That's great.
Yeah, no, she's boy. I still remember that moment when you said you got to see this, and I walked into that room, and holy smokes, holy smokes, yeah, that's a different world there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Really nice. So check her out.
Yes. Yes.
Yep. Okay. On the down point, well, actually, you know, you didn't have a choice. You had to cancel your New Jersey retreat.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised it took you. I'm surprised you hung in there as long as you did. I know you tried to make it go, but boy, we just don't have a choice for any of these events these days. It's too much of a crapshoot.
Yeah. And it is, you know, as I've written and in the various places on to attendees and on the Facebook group, you know, it's of course absolutely the right decision. It's heartbreaking. It's, you know, it's wishful thinking that we want life to go back to, quote, as it used to be. We want to be able to picture 100 people gathering together in a room in a room that's made for that size and not a room that's made for 500 people kind of
right,
thing.
Right.
It's just not where we are right now.
No.
And we want to hope that a year from now we will be there. And you know, I just, I had posted in the group that I was going to wait until June, mostly because I know there are some people that are just, you know, anxious to do whatever we can kind of thing. And it's helpful to have the specifics of, the directions that are coming from like our governor. New Jersey was one of the second hardest hit state. You could, you know, if you look at the numbers and, you know, waiting until we had absolute directions in terms of stage two or whatever we're at and gathering sizes and all of that, just to make sure that everyone knows the decisions that are being made about gatherings like this are being done thoughtfully and carefully and with everyone's, you know, safety in mind.
Right.
And at the same time, of course, we want to be together. We want to have a great time together. I know my stitching group has been pretty regularly doing a Zoom hangout together, and that has been immensely helpful to me during these weeks and months. And I hope and desire for everyone who had any sort of regular in-person contact with their stitching community, if they had something like that, that they were able to transition to some sort. It's certainly not as good as being in person, but to have some sort of virtual way to connect with, you know, your stitching community, you know, to keep those kind of connections going until you can meet together. I know here in New Jersey, just this week, stores, you know, quote, non-essential stores are being allowed to open, you know, with percent, you know, limits on capacity and so on. My LNS is, you know, put out the email about, you know, how they were opening, what they were doing and so on. And of course, as of right now, they are not having the sit and stitch, which has, you know, always been a mainstay of come and sit anytime you want. And I feel like there was almost never a time. I mean, I'd always go in there and there'd always be somebody, if not a whole bunch of people, just sitting there and stitching.
Yeah.
And obviously that is not in the first wave of what is going to be allowed at the store. But their email said, we are hopeful that we'll be able to bring that back, you know, soon. You know, they haven't set a date of when something like that is going to be allowed. But
yeah,
you just hope for when those days can come. So,
Yeah, well, that's Susan at Fire Poppies. The room she has for stitching, she's pretty fortunate in that the chairs are already spaced at a safe distance. Just as a normal thing. But yeah, most stores don't have that luxury of that much room, and it's usually a table and sit around the table.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just too close. And yeah, it's tough. When you announced that, it was inevitable, and all the work that goes into that, and it just all has to go on hold. And assume you'll be able to do it next year. I mean, geez, that'd be great.
Yes, that's the hope. And, you know,
you'd think a year plus from now, we'd have this under control.
we're going to hope that. Absolutely. Yeah. And there's, you know, there's all kinds of what ifs. And, you know, you just got to take it one day, one week, one month at a time and hope for lots of positives in our world that it will be able to happen.
Right.
And plenty of things will be able to happen, you know, as time goes on and progress is made. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and you have that added dimension in that you live in that greater New York metropolitan area where the population density is just so high that, even as they're starting to open up New York City, they're watching very carefully because if they don't, it could absolutely explode. And regress way back and even be worse. So you just have to be too careful.
And
it's not worth it. So I was sorry to hear that, but I mean, there's no question you made the right choice. You had
question. There was another stitching retreat that was supposed to be at the end of September, and they also just announced canceling that, which again, understandable, you know, absolutely the right decision kind of thing. And yet at the same time, you know, gosh, all these stitchers want something to look forward to.
Right.
I shouldn't limit that to Stitchers. Lots of people want all kinds of things to look forward to. And, you know, it's a matter of being patient and, you know, thinking about the greater good and hoping for the best.
That Zoom thing cracks me up because it was 2 years ago. There was a guy who writes a regular article. He doesn't write for us anymore, but he wrote a regular article for us every month. And for a while, we were accompanying the article with a podcast to enhance on the article and, you know, bring in other dimensions because there's only so much space, only so many words, you know. And I wanted to do it through our normal, through my normal system, which is Skype. Into Adobe Audition, which is what records it all and allows me to edit. And I use Skype because Skype gives the best audio and video quality that I've found.
Consistently.
You know, I mean, there are times we've had more than one instance where the technology got in the way, but just generally, it just works. And he didn't want to use Skype. And he said to me, and this was 2 years ago, two plus years ago, he says, I really like this Zoom. And Zoom, what's that? And so we used it. We recorded, I don't know, half dozen or eight podcasts. But the only way I could record them was to take the Zoom record feed. And the audio quality was substandard. And I think it's better now. But it was just this obscure platform. And then when this quarantine thing hit and all of a sudden people are talking about Zoom and I said, who found that? You know what I mean? Where did that come from? And I think that was part of their early problems is they were not geared for large scale use because they hadn't had it. And then all of a sudden the world wants to use Zoom for whatever reason. And I was surprised that Skype didn't play a role because so many people use Skype to talk with people overseas and, you know, at distances for family things. But it's like, it's a forgotten thing, which for me is fine because less traffic on Skype, you know,
makes it.
Yeah. It's okay with me. But, this Zoom thing is just, I heard that and I thought, Zoom, wait, I know that from, oh no, you gotta be kidding me.
Well, one of the story, you know, worth a chuckle kind of stories that has come from all this, my 4-year-old nephew who's in preschool, there's been a few times where my sister has helped organize his little class to have what has turned into Zoom meetings, which is to say, you know, let the kids see each other. You know, what 4-year-olds do with a computer screen, they like show each other their toys, you know, kind of thing. And at first she was just calling it FaceTime to him because he knows the word FaceTime. He FaceTimes with grandma and grandpa kind of thing.
Yeah.
Somewhere along the line, you know, because of her and her husband and his older sister was using the words Zoom meeting, when they were having these interactions with multiple people on the screen, he picked up the word Zoom meeting. And so at one point when I was FaceTiming with them and he had turned to my sister's mom and said, when is my next Zoom meeting? And I said to her, you know, who would have thought a 4-year-old's vocabulary would have included the words Zoom meeting?
Right.
That's there you go. A 4-year-old now knows what a Zoom meeting is.
I want to be like the cool kids. But now it's become the platform that so many people use. It's I'm sure they never. I can just imagine the at the corporate offices when the thing just exploded on them. Like, what are we going to do? We don't even have enough servers to do this stuff.
They picked it up pretty quick. I'll tell you that. One of the online teaching things I've been doing this year, the week before we were literally going to go, what turned into us going on online, they were clearly getting it ready. And I was logging into the system and I saw there was some, what do I call it? Like files related. And then there was the additional files and it said Zoom And then it was labeled with the same thing. And I'm like, what is this? Why is there a second option? And what is this Zoom thing? And I asked somebody and they said, oh, they're, you know, potentially we're going online and this, that's what it is. And I, you know, I remember looking at that word, like, what is Zoom?
I know.
Now it's totally a part of the vocabulary. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Almost overnight. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
No, it works, but it's interesting. Our local needle point guild chapter, they tried the first time I had them try, not Zoom, but something else, but there was, you could only have a 40-minute meeting. Mm-hmm. And then the next time they were going to, that was for a board meeting. And, then they were going to try Zoom, but then somebody came along and had a WebEx account or something that they could use. And so that then what allowed them to do quality stuff at a higher, you know, higher membership count, because we have, we've got 125 or 30 members, and it's not unusual for a live meeting to have 40 people. Mm. And, so I'm sure that was not able to join the last meeting because I was recording, but I'm sure when people didn't have to travel that it was much more than that. And they used GoToWebinar, I think it was GoToMeeting, GoToWebinar was the account, was the platform, and I'm sure that worked very well because that's what we use for webinars with the magazine, because it's huge, stable, proven, all those things.
Yep.
But you have to pay, you know, that's the thing, is you got to shell out some dollars for that kind of stuff. But that, you know, that's interesting too. I wonder, cause like for our chapter, it always cracks me up cause they meet at the church that Marg and I are members at. And I asked them when we were setting it up, cause we'd lost our meeting space, and then where are we going to meet? I said, well, why don't you meet at our church? We have plenty of room. Because we have a K-8 school building attached that the school doesn't exist anymore. So, you know, there's all kinds of room. And I said, we got a great big gym. We can meet in there. And so then I, you know, approached the church people. You know, can we do this thing? Sure. You know, what classroom do you want? I said, no, it's going to have to be in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, Needlepoint Guild.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm sure, well, I know to this day they were thinking, what, eight little old ladies who are going to come in and sit around a table, and you want the gym? What are you doing? And then the first night when, what, 35 or 40 people showed up, one of the guys was there, and I could just see the look. Well, I saw the look on his face, like, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
Never imagined, you know, but it's a big chapter. It's a big active chapter. And so, they've been meeting there all the time. But, yeah, these it'll be interesting now to see what happens, because now I think our chapters for the foreseeable future is going to do these online GoToMeeting things. And I hope I can attend the next one to see how it goes. But, yeah. You know, for a lot of chapters, will that help them grow? Hmm. Especially in the winter when people don't want to drive in the dark.
Yeah.
Will that kind of a thing help them grow? I can be a member of this thing and participate without, and how many people are housebound, just simply can't travel or need someone to drive them?
Mm-hmm.
Another thing here where I think it'll be interesting to see if it doesn't help, you know, after the virus thing, if it doesn't help people get more out of their needlework.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's so many positives. There's, you know, there is the piece of somebody saying, well, I need someone in front of me to teach me this or show me that or whatever. But the so many positives that would counter that, you know, exactly like you said, those that have difficulty physically getting to a meeting, the most things that you get out of a meeting is just being able to be around other stitchers and, be able to talk about, you know, whether it's a particular topic or a style or a history or whatever. You can do so much of that nowadays, you know, through one of these kind of Zoom, GoToMeeting, whatever. You know, there is the potential for those that can deal with the technology, which, you know, can be simple, you know, put on a simple level. You know, it should be an interesting thing to observe and check out the growth pattern. Like, I will be very interested to see, I don't know if numbers will be released, how ANG is moving, you know, doing a quote seminar online, you know, that classes are being offered.
Yeah.
And how, and because many of them have, you know, unlimited numbers, you know, it's not like you could judge anything by how many classes filled up kind of thing.
Right.
So it will be interesting to see how many people, if they share this information, take advantage of that and whether that opens up some new thinking and new opportunities for the future. And where, what directions they might take that knowledge, and go with it. You know, there's, it's just, it's an interesting, idea to pursue and see where it goes.
Yeah. Well, in talking to the ladies from the Royal School, you know, their efforts there, I can't, well, we talked about it. I mean, look what that's doing. How many people want to participate in a Royal School something at some juncture in their lives, but can't go to England. And this online stuff is allowing you to participate and get the kind of teaching you get from the Royal School, from your home. And to me, that's just, that's gigantic doors, because that makes them a global entity. And then talking with April McNee last week about the Embroidery Guild in New South Wales, same kind of thing. And I got to get with the San Francisco school people, but I'm sure they're doing the same thing. And for them, I think it's just a tremendous benefit, because it's not people who can drive to to their place. It's whoever can log on, which means the world. And, you know, and I think of people in, say, for instance, South Africa. I don't know what activity there is. I mean, there's Trish Burr, and there's several designers in South Africa. But I don't know what the activity is. South America, you know, name it, where you know, remote parts of the U.S. where they got nothing. You know, this is just opening all kinds of doors for people, and I think there's, sadly, the cause of it is such a negative thing, but I think the positives for this hobby are huge. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, there's a point where you just, you have to, you, the phrase, take your lemons and make lemonade, or, you know, that.
Yeah, right.
You know,
yeah.
That's what's happening here, you know? Yeah.
So it's terrific. It's just terrific. And I think all the way back, of course, sorry, folks, it's technology type stuff, but I think all the way back, you know, the first Bill Gates and Windows. And if you'll recall back way, you know, long time ago, Bill Gates talking about the internet and how our lives will be so tied to online and, you know, email and you'll be on, you know, the websites. And he talked about this world that at the time was so foreign. And of course, everybody, no way. I'm not doing that. You know, privacy, this, that, and the other thing. And yet, he was spot on. Here we are today, you know, staying in our homes, interacting with people, learning from each other, all through a screen. I just always remember that. Yeah. Cause it was, so I had the same reaction. No, not a chance. No way, buddy. And he was dead right. Dead right. Yep. So, all right. Now, of course, here we are, an hour. And we've hardly touched on what was on the list, but I do want, before we get out of here, I do want to talk about your recently completed heirloom lace design. Now, we've talked about this several times, but you got it finished. So now people can buy the chart.
Yes. So the chart is now available in my Etsy store. You can purchase it as a paper copy or as a PDF download. Both options are available there. As has been talked about many times, I am more or less a one project at a time kind of person. And I, as I shared in my recent FlossTube video, that the fact that I even was able to finish this in the relatively short amount of time, you know, I'll say thank you, quarantine. You know, it's thanks to the change in routine that has been forced upon, well, all of us, in these last few months. And it is a large piece, but it was, you know, it's also something I just really so got into and enjoyed. I did it using Flowship. We talked about this before, how much it was easy for me in the respect that it only involved using one strand and getting excellent coverage with one strand over 36 count, on 36 count. It does not have to be stitched using Floche, and I've written about that on the pattern. It's, you know, it was a joy to stitch. It was based on an actual piece of lace. I will give the little comment that I'm already anxious to get started in designing my next lace-focused design. I'm hoping I can produce what is in my mind. I can make it actually work when I go to do some charting. And that, to me, that's part of the excitement of designing, is when you can make things work like that. But for this case, for this piece, and like any sort of monochrome design, any color connect, any color, you know, any fabric, any thread you want, any color combination, it's going to work. So yes, you can certainly get it there. It will be soon enough available through Hoffman, which is to say your local needlework store could order it as well. But as of right now, you can certainly go directly to my website, to my Etsy store, and I'm sure Gary will do all the links to make that possible. So
I
yeah.
always do. So now, part of what makes it, design aside, part of what really makes this one work for me is that it's crushed cranberry linen, right?
Yes,
Now,
yes.
so can you don't normally kit things, so where
No.
can we get this linen? Is this linen fairly readily available? Do you know?
That's a great question. So it's a silk weaver linen. Silk weaver fabrics are the home is a needleworker's delight, which is my LNS. Like so many, they've been doing mail orders, and like so many, that's the store I was referring to that is opening up, as so many others are this week. I don't know where they stand in being able to do custom orders of their silk weaver fabrics. I know that they always have some out. Like in normal times, they always have some of their silk weaver fabrics. They're also one of the distributors of Zweigart in the U.S., so they have all the Zweigart fabrics as well. They have all the listings of possible silk weaver, and what is often the case, it's like a custom order. I don't know where they are right now in terms of potentially being backlogged with those custom orders. I just don't know where it stands. So you could certainly give them a call or email to say, you know, if that is the absolute perfect color for you, to see, you know, what you know, how long it might take for them to be able to dye a piece of fabric of that color for you. You know, great, go for it. This is me. I say there's so many beautiful fabrics out there. There's so many things. Find something that works for you and go for it. But Silk Weaver is part of Needleworker's Delight, which is located in Metuchen, New Jersey. You could find them online, you know, with a quick Google search, and be in touch with them and see what they are able to do to help you out. So yeah.
Yeah, and I'll put a link to their website
Excellent. Yes.
in the information for the show. I just bring that up because it is such a striking linen.
Yeah.
It really is. And then when you put that white floche on there, I mean, it just for me, it just like hello, well done.
Well, and you know what's interesting is that it's actually not white. It's 712. And there was, I know that when I laid down, you know, both white and B5200, it almost seemed a little too stark, if that is the right word. That it, to me, it lent itself to be a little, it would look better if it was a little bit off-white. And so 712 is like, if you laid ecru and 712 next to each other, 712 is slightly lighter than ecru. I mean, you know, so it's somewhere between white and ecru, 712 is, and that, you know, that just hit it correct for me, you
So
know, obviously.
it just takes the edge off of bright white then.
Exactly. That's a great way to describe it. But of course, looking at it from a distance, or a picture I post, you wouldn't necessarily see that. If you see it in person, I think most people who have seen it in person, which hasn't been too many since I started it right at the beginning of lockdown. But for the few who were able to see it, like when I first started it, have just, you know, have commented that, that they really liked the choice that I made in not doing it in a, in white or B5200.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the effect of using full crosses with the floche and then the half cross with one strand of DMs, of floss. I loved the effect. It was, you know, trying to envision as I've done with other pieces, different ways to approach cross stitch using not so complicated techniques, you know,
right.
Vary the thickness of thread by how many strands you use, or in this case, you know, not only the number of strands, so to speak, but also whether you're doing full crosses or half crosses, and then just being able to look at it from a distance and see how much that creates a wonderful effect. And so there's certainly more explorations in that department coming down the line in my designing, including from a different perspective, but something I'm doing with color right now. Again, just sort of exploring what you can do and not, you know, when you look at something up close too much, it's like, this doesn't make any difference. But when you look at it from a distance, oh, it is pulling off a cool effect.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm hoping is coming across with what I'm doing right now. But yeah, that's what I've been, that's my big finish from most recent weeks. And I'm excited that it came out as beautiful as it did.
Yeah, when we were talking with Deb Eshelman on the Friday Night Live show, you entered my mind because we were talking about changing designs to make them yours, to make them what yours is, what you want, you know, what you want it to be, not what the designer wants you to want. You know, Deb had just so many excellent examples of that very thing. And then I was thinking about what these techniques that you've been doing and how effective they are visually. And for the everyday regular stitcher, they don't take any new skill.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's just, like you said, just doing a tent stitch or doing one strand versus two strands and modifying and getting a very different look and a powerful look. And you don't have to learn a new stitch. You don't have to go to a krynek thread. You don't have to go to a silk thread. You don't have, you know, none of that. Just vary what you're doing with the threads you have. And, you know, you've uncovered some very effective visual effects just by doing those simple things. And it, you know, it just, to me, it was just, here's another way I can make this piece my own.
Mm-hmm.
And those techniques that you've been using, you can use those on anything.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They don't have to be prescribed in the instructions.
Mm-hmm.
Just try it. See what you like. Yeah.
I know one of my stitching friends, I can't off the top of my head tell you what pattern she was working on or something, but she made the comment that she wanted, I think it was flowers or something, that she wanted them to stand out more. So I think she was doing those flowers using two strands, and the whatever was sort of behind the flowers, she was using one strand, just regular cross stitch. And I said, go for it. Love it. Love the idea. You
right.
know, it was, you know, absolutely do those kinds of things.
And see, that's just, you know, just some extra thread. There's
mm-hmm.
nothing else to it. Yeah. Yeah. No, I applaud you. I think it's great. Because it demonstrates people who are a little nervous about going beyond making the standard X.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then try this. Try an extra strand of thread. See what happens, and
mm-hmm.
and you might like it. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
So and Vanna has used that technique of going over making the last cross in each X twice.
Mm-hmm.
Which gives some added density and a little texture to it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there again, that's just a simple thing to do,
mm-hmm.
and you get a different effect. And mm-hmm. Yeah, there's just all, if you just take a moment and think about it, pull yourself out of the instructions and think about what could I do to make this mine? What visually would make this? And you know, there's little things like that you can do, and they can make a big difference. So,
absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Okay, so there we have it. Worksbyabc.com. Go check that out. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
It's
Thank
big. You. What size?
It is...
Roughly?
I have that in front of me.
The math teacher, of course, has to have it down to the eighth of an inch.
Yeah. Well, in doing it on 36 count, it is about 14 by 16 inches.
Okay.
So, you know, that's roughly...
Not gigantic, but it'll get your attention. I mean, yeah.
Yes, there's definitely pieces that are larger, pieces that are smaller. Stitch count is 285 by 253.
Yeah.
So I once posted the question. I feel like I posted it in multiple places just to get the opinion. You know, how do you define a large project versus like a medium-sized project versus a small project? And not that there was 100% consensus, but a lot of people were talking about stitch count. And something over 150 by 150 was – you know, there's something about that stitch count that seemed to be a good marker for many people that it moved into the large category when you went over 150 by 150. And then I didn't ask this specifically, but I suppose you go from large to extra large somewhere, you know,
yeah.
You go, you know, then there, you know, something that's like 200 by 200 to me is different than like a Haid, which is, you know, 700 by 900. So,
yeah. You know. Yeah, that's the jumbo category.
Jumbo category, exactly.
Yeah.
Let's just skip right over extra large and let's go to jumbo. Right. Yes.
Yep. Now, see, for me, that breaks down to 6 inches or less for small.
Okay.
And then when you start getting in the 10-inch-ish range, 8, 10, mm-hmm. 12, to me, that's medium.
Okay.
And then after that, it's large.
Okay.
I mean, that's roughly how I break it down. It, you know, I don't really pay attention and don't really care, but that's how I would break it down. So, yeah, I would say you get into the 15, you know, give or take an inch or two, then you're into a large piece. And, then you get into a Haid thing, and, yeah, you've gone off the deep end. Yeah, God, those things are gigantic. Man. But they're beautiful. I was following somebody the other day. I had a page finish, which for anyone else would be a complete project finish. And I only got 20 more to go. more power to you. Keep parking threads. Yeah. All right. We got to call it.
All right.
Thanks to Susan and the Fire Poppies for sponsoring the show. Go check that out. Firepoppies.com. And get yourself subscribed to the calendar so you'll know when events are coming up. Quarterly men's event. Interesting.
Yeah.
That's it. Thanks, Arlene.
Thanks. Take care, everyone.